Good morning. Good to see you. It's good to be here with y'all today. Marion's aunt passed away this week, and she's in Louisiana. So remember her in your prayers, and she'll be there a couple days, and then I'll be back. I want us to spend a little time this morning with, we're kind of halfway between Easter and Pentecost. So I'd kind of like you to get your head around, if you were one of the disciples, you can pick your favorite one. What would be going through your head? What are you thinking? What are you experiencing? How are you feeling? Jesus was crucified, resurrected, and now he kind of comes and goes. It's different. So where is it headed? What's that going to look like? What's the future going to bring? Because we all go through similar kind of things ourselves, events, transitions in life where something we were doing and then it changes. And so we go through this process of trying to figure out, are we going to lean into it? Are we not? Are we going to resist it? Are we going to be angry? Are we going to be happy? And then whatever we lost is now an opportunity for something new. So do we get on board with that? Do we keep fighting it? How do we lean into that? Because the disciples had Jesus in a certain way, and now all that's changing and life's different. And so that happens in our lives in lots of different places. No matter what your age, there's always a new grade to go into, new teachers, new experiences, new teams, new people that you meet, jobs, all of those kinds of things. So let's jump into our scripture, because Jesus tells the disciples a little bit about this. They don't really recognize it till after the resurrection, maybe during this period of time between Easter and Pentecost, but they remember this passage and what Jesus is saying and then try to figure it out. So John chapter 14, 9 through 14 says, Jesus answered, "Do you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I don't speak of my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will even do greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it." Words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So Jesus is if you go back later today maybe and read John 14, 15, 16, there's a lot of references to this idea that Jesus is going away, but he's speaking this while he's still there. This is pre-crucifixion, resurrection, Easter. This is part of Jesus' ministry with the disciples, and he's telling them about these things. He's telling them what's going to happen. He's foreshadowing the nature of the events that are going to take place, but I'm sure as he's speaking this in real time, real life with them, they don't really... What are you talking about? Where are you going with this? It's only later that they think back on this and look at this passage and some other passages where Jesus says, here, I need to leave, I need to go, and that as I do, you'll do better, greater things. And so this transition needs to take place. It needs to happen, and you'll see that. And so God asks us to trust in that, even though we can't really see the future. And so that happens in a lot of places in our lives where there's something, and then that changes. Again, it could be a natural thing, a promotion, a new job, moving to a new school, new class, changes in our lives, or it could be something that happens to us. some sort of a event, a death, a job loss, not of our own choosing. Something could happen that creates this transition time where we have to lean into it, embrace it or not. And then at some point, something new takes its place. We get to a different point. We get to a place. We work through that. And so some of us willingly, others of us get dragged along. We've got two dogs. One of them is just basically a puppy. She's a year and a half, almost two. And she had a very traumatic week. She has, her best friend is my daughter's dog that got hit by a car, passed away. And they got a new dog, but it's a puppy. So Jax, the dog that got hit, was a boxer, about that big. And so every other weekend, they come and spend some time with us. And so they would get out of the car. Jax would run up to Stella. Stella's our dog. And they would play for 2 hours, just running, biting, grabbing, chasing each other around. So a week ago, our grandson gets out of the car with the new puppy that they got to take Jax's place. And so the dog is this big. But it looks, it's a black boxer, look just like Jax. And so dogs have to process things somehow, right? And so our grandson gets out of the car, and with him, this puppy. And so Stella, our dog, is like, oh my gosh, what happened to Jax? Jax is now tiny. And so so Stella is used to just running and biting and chewing and running and playing, but she doesn't know what to do with this puppy. She's sniffing it. She's trying to play with it, but it's 6 weeks old. It's just barely able to get out on its own. And so trying to figure out, you know, how is Stella processing this this puppy and trying to figure it out? And then this weekend, our daughter, middle daughter's moving close to us, and they moving from Austin, Texas to here, and they brought a chicken. And they had a bunch of chickens, but for a variety of reasons, aren't on the trip. And just Jessica, the chicken. And so our dog is a mix of a bunch of things, but it has a pretty strong predator, drive. And so she likes hunting, chasing, digging holes, trying to find, root out stuff, grab them. So I think she thought this was like a quail hunt. They get out of the car with the chicken, and she thinks, I think, that we were going to hold the chicken and let the chicken go, and then we were going to hold her and say, okay, go get it. but we didn't. We put Stella on the leash and kind of led her to the chicken, and she's sniffing the chicken. She's wanting, you could tell she's wanting to grab the chicken, get it in her mouth, shake it, all of that, but we won't let her. So she's trying to process, okay, what do I do with this chicken? So it's just confusing, right? And sometimes things in our life are like that too. There's a change, there's a transition, there's something that's new or that's different. And so just like the disciples trying to figure out what's going on and how do we deal with this and how do we move into this? And so when that happens, we wait, we wonder, we guess, we think, we prepare, we probably spend some time lamenting and mourning what was, because even if the new thing is a lot better, we get attached to where we are, especially we get comfortable, we reflect. And so that happens to us all through life, right? And so we should be used to it. We should be getting pretty professional at it, going from elementary school to middle school, that's a big transition. If you're about to do that, or if you've done that, going to middle school to high school, going from high school to post-high school, if that's college or a gap year or something else, going from education-based to work-based, where you're putting all that education to good use, going from single to married or whatever's next, going from no kids to kids, that's a huge transition, right? Do you know what you're doing? Did you have this all planned out, figured out? Did that happen calculatedly? Or did it just happen? Oh, my gosh. As you go with kids from toddler to when they're teenagers, I had somebody come up to me yesterday and go, our child is now 14. That's way different from when they were in elementary school. When you go from a nest to an empty nest, from work to new work or no work, from parent to grandparent, from able to disabled, from married to widow, from life to death. All of those times. So they keep happening, right? So all of these transitions, times when you get comfortable with life and where you are, with everything that's going on, something happens. Either it's a choice that you make, or it's a natural progression of life and kids and family and everything, or it's something that happens to you. All of us experienced a few years ago COVID. That was something that happened to us. And how are we going to get through that? And what are we going to do? And where are we going to turn next? And how is that supposed to work? Sometimes we deal with that really well. Sometimes not so well. And so the disciples are trying to figure out, okay, here's what we knew. Here's what we thought we signed up for with Jesus a couple of years ago. And now this is all changing. And how is this going to look? And how is this going to work? And where's God in the midst of that? And where are we in the midst of it? And how do we fit into this? And what's going to happen? The relationship that they had with Jesus is now way different. And what does that look like? And Jesus says all of this has to happen. And that's part of what God is doing. And we can go back all the way through the Bible and we see the same sort of thing. In the Old Testament with Abraham moving to a new place and God working with him to try to establish this community of people. Moses leading people out of Egypt and into a new land towards a promised land. And what is that going to look like? And there are parts at which folks revolt and they say, it would have been better for us to stay slaves in Egypt than go out into this new place. And sometimes our worry and our fear and the unknown gets to us and we don't know what's next. And so we want to go back, even when going back really isn't the best option, but it's something we knew. And we don't know sometimes what's ahead of us and what's going to take place. In 2003, I was the pastor at the Cedartown First United Methodist Church, just south of Rome, north of Carrollton. I'd been there a while. It was time to move. And as a minister, you kind of have certain expectations of what that next appointment will look like. And so I got appointed from Cedartown to Dahlonega, Georgia. And I was so mad. I was angry. It felt like a demotion. It felt like somebody made a mistake. And so I kind of yelled a little bit, thinking that they would fix this mistake. And they didn't fix it. So I go to Dahlonega, and I'm super angry. And it took a while, to calm down and to kind of look around. Well, that was 21 years ago. I still live in Dahlonega. Our kids are around that area. It's a great place, but it's interesting how that happens in our lives, right? We get an announcement, we're told that something happens to us, and here's what's gonna the future is gonna look like, and we're maybe not all that excited about it. And so, how do we deal with that? And how do we lean into that? And how do we trust that God's in the midst of that? And so that's what the story here is about that we read. Jesus is preparing them. He's letting them know this has got to happen in order for the things of God to take place. At the end of the 14th chapter, where we read verses 9 through 14, at the end in verse 28, Jesus continuing this same sort of theme says, "You heard me say that I'm going away, and I am coming back. If you love me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so when it does happen, you will believe," or, you know, you'll be okay. "I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming, but he has no hold on me. But the world must learn that I love the Father, and I do exactly what the Father has commanded me." So Jesus is, again, he's telling them, you'll remember this later, probably not making a lot of sense right now, but you'll remember this later, and when you remember this, you'll see that I'm doing what God has orchestrated and is putting together, and God is at work in our lives. And so the challenge for us is, do we trust that? Do we trust that universally, or do we only trust that when things go the way we hoped they would go, or we expected they would go? When something happens to us that we didn't expect or didn't want or didn't sign up for or didn't vote for, sometimes we get angry because we like being in control. We like knowing. We want to see the path ahead of us. We want to know where is this going and what's taking place, and we don't always get that. In this side of heaven, life can get really messy. This side of heaven, things can go really haywire. And it doesn't mean that everything that happens to us we have to like, but it does mean that everything that happens to us, God is there with us. And there's this transition time. There's this recognition that, okay, here's how things were. And we've got to grapple with that. And that's what a community of faith is all about. Sunday school classes, small groups, youth groups, kids groups and things to give us places to talk and to sort of work through stuff. Did you go through that? Has anybody else been mad about being assigned a territory or a new job they didn't like or didn't want? How did you deal with that? How did you finally come to grips with that? Because if you go to a new place and you're just mad all the time, then that's not going to go well, right? So you have to get over that and figure out, okay, this is not what I wanted. This is not what I expected. But how do I see God in the midst of this? And how do I lean into that? Part of that, I think, is in the words of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. Seek first the kingdom of God, everything else will find its place. I like that passage and that idea because it reminds us to seek first God. And when we seek God first, God has, and we submit, and what did Jesus say here? The world must learn that I love the Father and I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. It's this idea that, okay, if we spend time with God and if we're growing closer to God, then even when things aren't exactly what we expected or hoped for, God has a way to kind of help us lean into that, accept it, get okay with it, find a peace about it, find the silver lining, if you will, in whatever is taking place. Find something that then moves us forward instead of staying stuck in this place where we're angry and we're mad. And that's what happens a lot of times from this transition from how things were to something new. There's this period of time where we grapple with how we're going to deal with it. Are we going to be good with it? Are we not? It's okay to be mad and angry, shake your fist. I don't like this. But at some point, moving through that to, okay, I don't like it. I still don't like it. But what's going on here? How do I lean into it? I think that as we make that transition, we learn a few things about ourselves and about our life together. One, that we're better together, right? Something happens to us and we're mad, we're angry, or we're confused, or we're hurt, or we're mourning. Sometimes the temptation is just to hold on to that, isolate ourselves, not tell anybody what's going on with us. Why are you? You seem a little different. You seem a little down. Is everything okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Part of the reality is living together and sharing together. We're better together. Sometimes when we go through some sort of transition, there's other people who've done the same thing. Life has a way of being replicated in lots of different ways. So sometimes there's somebody that we know that's gone through the same thing, and talking with them, sharing with them, getting advice, getting direction, hearing their story. Yeah, that happened to me. Here's what I did. Recognizing that God is with us. No matter where we go, what we do, God is with us. And that's what we see over and over in the stories in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Dramatic changes took place and happened. But in every step of the way, God was working. God was with people. God was guiding, directing, bringing things together, putting people in connection with other folks to help people make it through. It's also okay not to know. It's okay not to know the answer. It's okay not to know what to do next. It's okay not to know what the next step ought to be, but to wait, to trust, to follow, to ask for help. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to say that this didn't work, so let's start again. Maybe we decide we're going to go in this direction, and we find that that's just not a good way to go, and so turning back and starting all over. It's okay to feel overwhelmed. And some days it's okay just to take a nap and say, I'm struggling, I just need a nap. Because another word for all of this is resurrection. And that's at the heart of this story, that as we move out of Easter and towards Pentecost, we remember that those first disciples had no idea what was taking place. They were on new ground, experiencing this all for the first time. We have a opportunity to look back over their shoulders and see what they did, the mistakes they made, and the good things they did, the decisions they made. But in that first experience of Easter to Pentecost, they were trying to figure it out as they go. And sometimes we're in that same sort of boat, trying to figure out where we're going, what we're doing, and how all this comes together. But the good news is that God is with us in the midst of that. God was with them then, guiding and leading. God is with us in the midst of the struggle, the transitions, the new things, whether we're excited about it, whether we're scared to death about it, whether we're angry about what's taking place. God is with us, guides us, directs us, stands with us, empowers us, and in community, as we are here, we have the opportunity to stand with folks, be with folks, help, guide, try to find ways that we can work together to find hope and direction and solutions. My experience at Dahlonega was wonderful. Kind of right place at the right time. The community was growing. We were able to buy and sell land, build a brand new sanctuary, and meet lifelong friends. My fear, my anxiety, my anger over being appointed there was totally misplaced. And years later, had a conversation with some friends on the cabinet and that were close to the bishop, and the idea was that they all knew that Dahlonega was a growing community and a great place to go, and they thought that I was the best person to go there. And it's funny, isn't it, how things take place and how sometimes we can run just the wrong direction with stuff when God has meant it for good. Somehow help us to see and connect with that. Let us pray. God, I know that in a room with this many folks, there are lots of things going on. Things that are happening in our lives that we didn't ask for and didn't want. Trying to come to grips with that. Other folks that are excited about new opportunities that they did choose and things that are taking place. And I just ask you to meet us here because you're the God of us all and are working in our lives, your spirit. Jesus said in this passage that he needed to go so the Holy Spirit could come and guide us and direct us, and that God was in the midst of providing this new way for us to exist and to be and to experience God's love. So God, I just pray that for folks that are having trouble seeing this as a loving time, that you would work in their hearts and lives, give them a calm and a peace and grace to help us to see where you're at work and how you're at work. We're thankful for your mercy. We pray your forgiveness, God, when we get too far ahead of ourselves. Just ask your guidance and direction on each of us this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.